Hello and welcome to another edition of the WEW podcast. Wrestling is everything is wrestling. It's been a few weeks since we've been on the air. My name is Brian Kluger, and you can find the WEW podcast on the Multimedia Men podcast through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, go there, and we're also on boomstickcomics.com. You can find all the podcasts on there, but yes, this is episode 9. We've been on a hiatus for a few weeks. We came back because myself, Brian Kluger, finally went to an indie wrestling match, and it changed my life. I'm with the person who got me into this, the person that got me into the indie wrestling. He's been trying to get me into indie wrestling for so long. He's been fighting tooth and nail. There's been blood. There's been semen. There's been all kinds of things. Tom Nix from San Antonio got me into indie wrestling, and I thank him so much. Thank you so much, Tom Nix. What's going on?
Speaking of blood and semen, I feel like I just birthed an indie wrestling child with you.
Oh, I'm just glad that we birthed a child together. What can we call this child?
Let's call it Amazing Wrestling.
Amazing Wrestling. Can we call it like WEW?
WEW Junior?
Yes, that would be awesome. Indie wrestling is like the coolest thing. Yeah, WWE. We love WWE.
Hey, 2002. Brian Kluger thinks that independent wrestling is awesome.
It's true. It's so true. As you know, like we like to talk about WWE stuff, but we also love to talk about all the indie stuff. But now I'm finally really getting into it. And I just have to say that it was just amazing. So the wrestling event Tom and I went to is called Wrestle Circus. It's a very new wrestling promotion based out of Texas, based in Austin, actually. You can visit them at WrestleCircus.com. They're badass. So they did two shows. And it's called The Main Attraction Part 1 and Part 2. The first night was in Austin. The second night was in Dallas. And Tom went to night one and I went to night two. So we're going to talk to you today about the awesomeness, the amazingness of Wrestle Circus and what indie wrestling really means and how good is it compared to WWE. So Tom, can you give us a little background on like indie wrestling stuff?
There's a lot to cover with indie wrestling in general.
Compare it to WWE in a way, like, I guess, where people love
The best thing, so, like, if you have never seen an independent wrestling show, A, please go. Don't make me birth another blood, semen-filled child like I had to push Brian Kluger out of my loins for months and months. Just go to a show. You'll have a good time. But the best thing you can compare independent wrestling to, if you're a WWE fan, it's closer to NXT than it is anything else, or even probably more accurate, it might even be closer to the Cruiserweight Classic than anything else. It's a lot more high spots. You've got a lot more people doing more innovative and possibly dangerous moves than you would normally see in WWE. Sometimes there's much better psychology. Personally, in my opinion, I think some of the characters are better because they can be a little more honest because they're only performing for that small group of people. They're not trying to appeal to millions of viewers. They're just trying to win over the crowd they're in front of, and that's all they're concerned about. So, if you like NXT, if you loved what you saw in the CWC, independent wrestling is for you. And like Brian said, Wrestle Circus is a great example of independent wrestling. This is their second show, though technically second and third show in one weekend ever. They are a brand new promotion that just came up in October, was their very, very first show ever. I attended that with a former guest of the show, Tyler Major. You can listen to one of our previous episodes. We talk a little bit about that show. But since both of us actually attended a show this time, we're going to spend our entire, 40 minutes just talking about what we saw, how it was, give a little bit of critiques, give a little bit of admiration and adulation to the company. And again, if you live in the Texas area, specifically Central South Texas, this is one of the best promotions you can possibly get behind. We'll talk about why. But for an independent promotion, these guys are bringing in some of the top talent in the world, people that you would normally see in New Japan Pro Wrestling, people you would normally see in Ring of Honor. They're coming to your local little, you know, 200 seat arena and performing their butts off. So
yeah, no, it's so, so good. And like I said, like Tom said, and I'm going to say again, like these indie guys, they're not doing it to, I mean, I guess the goal is pretty much always to like get on top, go to WWE, but these guys like put their heart and their soul, they're getting paid, you know, scratch, like $100-$200, maybe a little bit more than that, and they are putting on a crazy show that for you. And like these audiences that are at these indie shows, like maybe 150 to a few hundred more people, so it's like really intimate. And like there's tons and tons of back and forth with the audience and the wrestlers here.
If you sit first or second row at an indie show, you are literally less than 3 feet away from the wrestlers. Like at Wrestle Circus last night, I was front – or not last night, on Saturday night, I was front row to Wrestle Circus. And there were times where there were bodies laying on top of my feet.
Yeah.
You know, like there is absolutely no distance between the people that are performing for you and you. It's really unlike, I mean, even if you are lucky enough or rich enough to get a ringside seat to WWE, yeah, you'll get really up and close personal if they hit the barricade. But like if they hit the ropes, they're still a good 5 to 6 feet away from you. That's not the case with independent wrestling. If you're right by that ring, and it kind of eliminates the barrier between performer and audience. Not that the audience is not encouraged to participate, but because there's such a thin line between what's going on in the ring and where you are, you really feel like you are a part of this more than you would something like WWE, which again is more about the spectacle, more about the size, more about, you know, look at all this amazing stuff that's happening. This is definitely a more organic experience. So with that in mind, I've been to my fair share of indie shows over the past probably 3 or 4 years. Before we get into the specifics of the card or what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like, what, you know, what we wish we could see more of, Brian Kluger, tell me how your life is different.
It's night and day, Tom. Night and day. I mean, I've been to my fair share of WWE events, as you know. You and I both went to WrestleMania. We, like, got the VIP treatment there at WrestleMania 32. Yep. I've sat front row before at a wrestling pay-per-view directly behind JR and Lawler at a pay-per-view. We've been to SmackDown's Raw, and nothing really compares to that when you go to an indie show like Wrestle Circus. Like I tweeted before, you can find me on Twitter at Brian underscore Kluger. I think that Wrestle Circus was greater than Survivor Series. Like, I really do. Like, there's an intimacy and like a hardcore-esque feel and a grittier feel to these to these indie shows. Like, I really felt like I was a part of it rather than just being a spectator.
Because when those guys make a dive out of the ring or they throw each other out of the ring, there is a risk that you're going to get hit by a 230-pound flying body.
Yes.
This isn't WWE where, yeah, oh, wow, look at that jump he made. It's so cool. This has an urgency and immediacy as a, I need to get out of the way or I'm going to get landed on by a guy who could kill me.
Right, right. No, yeah, it is I felt fully immersed in wrestling like I have never felt before at a WWE event. Like I said, you're and plus, like, yeah, you can see people at a WWE event, but like at the indie shows, you feel like you're at home. You feel like you're with like the real wrestling fans there, and I did feel at home. I like feel like I made friends for life. You know, like at Wrestle Circus in Dallas where I met, Sign Guy was there. And if you don't know who Sign Guy is, look him up. He was actually there. It was great.
Good old Sign Guy. I've seen him at a bunch of WWE shows, but that's really cool that he actually showed up to an independent wrestling show that like that proves that, and especially one that doesn't have anything to do with WWE, like it has nothing to do with it. Like, even though he might be, you know, kind of a paid super fan that, like, goes to all the events and gets kind of, you know, gets, like, prime seats in a certain place every time, it's nice to know that he's out there hey, you know what? This show's coming to town with some great people. I need to go be there because I love wrestling. That's nice to know, because I bet you there are some WWE super fans that don't give a shit about independent wrestling.
No, absolutely. And like I say, there, if wherever you're listening to this, you know, if you're in the north of Maine or the southern tip of California, Florida, Nebraska, Washington State, check, literally research, Google your local wrestling promotion and check them out. You're going to love it.
Yeah. So let's break down some of what we saw here. So Wrestle Circus did something pretty ambitious for their second show, which was to basically split it up into two different cities. Again, this is their second show. This isn't like an established promotion that's actually doing tours. Yeah, no, this is the second time they've ever performed.
Yeah, Wrestle Circus is a brand new promotion. Like, they've been open for 2 or 3 months at the most.
Yeah, 2 months. Their first show was like October 16th, something like that.
Yeah, that's November 21st right now. And this was their second big outing.
They're a month old, basically, a month and a couple days old. So they did something really ambitious, which was take their show to two cities. Both cities have a good wrestling, especially a good independent wrestling background. Austin has Inspire Pro Wrestling, Dallas has VIP Wrestling, amongst others. So, like, you know, taking an independent wrestling show with pretty big names is going to draw in those two cities, because those cities do have a dedicated wrestling fan base. But anyway, what they did was they took most of the same talent, and they spread them out over, or not spread them out. They actually duplicated on differing nights. So they had a card full of people, and maybe one night there was like five people in a 5-man match. And then the next night those people would be broken up into singles matches or however they wanted to do it. And then they had tag matches where maybe they alternated partners different nights based on who was there. But again, I thought it was really cool idea for them to do, and again, it's very ambitious for a company that is, you know, less than 60 days out of its complete infancy. They had a whole bunch of matches. There were some exclusive talent at each show. So Austin got a exclusive Chris Hero match. If you don't know who Chris Hero is, he used to be Cassius Ohno in NXT, and he's probably the best wrestler alive. So you should know who Chris Hero is. And Dallas got Candice LeRae, who is the wife of Johnny Gargano and one half of the world's cutest tag team with Joey Ryan. Before I go any further, I want Brian to exonerate and to pontificate about Candice LeRae, because I think he has a crush.
I have a huge crush on Candice. She is one half of the cutest tag team in the world, and we'll get into to the King of Dong style soon. But Joey Ryan. Candice. I mean, she was in a tag team match with three guys, and it was just her, and she held her own like anybody ever. Like, she fit right into everybody, into the whole male side of this. And she was a badass. She hit her spots. She was tough. She was fun. I want her to go to the tippy, tippy, tippy top.
And I think that'll happen soon enough for her. So talk me through that match. Because the people they fought, Joey Ryan and Candice fought a pair that are from Austin.
Ricky Starks and Aaron Solo.
Ricky Starks is actually a former Inspire Pro champion, and Aaron Solo is Bailey's boyfriend.
Okay, you all know Bailey. She's the hugger with WWE. So this was a tag team match. And if you don't know who Joey Ryan is, Joey Ryan is, yes, the King of Dong style. Well, I'm trying to think. So he comes out with like a lollipop sucker, and soon enough, at some point in the match, he starts pulling out these suckers from his crotch. And this is one of the only guys that I remember in wrestling, the wrestling realm, that uses his quotation fingers dong to actually defeat his opponents. Which
I love how Brian Kluger started this podcast with the word semen, but won't say the word penis.
I'm scared to say it. No, he uses his dong to defeat opponents, and like one of the whole things in this match was like, you want to touch it, and then the crowd at Dallas was like, you want to touch it, dun, 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 dun. And like the Ricky Starks and Aaron Solo just did not want to, but you know they were gonna get some at one point. But then the match like went back and forth, like there were some hard hits, and then all of a sudden I think it was Ricky literally like hit Candace in the face like really hard, and she like went out cold, and like sign guy stood up and just like boo no it like started to walk towards the concession stand. It was really funny, and Candace sold it so well.
She's amazing.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
It was really yes. funny.
So Ricky Starks and Aaron Solo fought the boys for me. The boys are Dalton Castle's manservants. They fan him when he is tired, and they help him to the ring. Little did I know, they are really good at wrestling.
They are really good at wrestling.
I really thought they were just, you know, twins who had a good physique, who were there for, you know, just because that's all they really do. They walk to the ring with him. He climbs in their backs to get in the ring. They fan him. They hold up peacock feathers, and it's a great gimmick.
Yeah, the boys, but, you know, they're a better Uso. Like
almost. I can't even disagree with that. Like so, but our match, that was the opening match for us, was the boys versus Starks and Solo, and it was hot. I mean, both of those teams were full of action. They had a really hot opening tag team contest. Starks and Solo were playing the bad guys, and if you've ever seen Ricky Starks perform, you know that he just has that aura of punchability to him. He's just a smarmy dick. And he's wonderful. but it was a really, really, really good match. And they had who was it? Aaron Solo and Ricky Starks had this amazing finish where Ricky Starks held one of the boys up like he was going into a pedigree, only he held him vertically like a pile driver almost. Then Aaron Solo did a standing super kick to the guy's face, and then Ricky Starks planted him in a pedigree, and it was vicious, and obviously it won the match. But again, like the boys were jumping off everything, they were doing flips, they were doing great kicks. I really expected it to be kind of a comedy match, and it certainly was. I mean, there was a bunch of like, you know, fan up moments where they handed the fans to the crowd, and the crowd were fanning the boys to get them back in the match again.
Yeah,
and
literally, they like picture like the Chinese like fans, you know, they're fanning them. Yes,
they definitely had some comedy spots, but it was a much more traditional wrestling match than I expected out of essentially a valet team. So that's something where if the boys ever come back to Texas, I'm very happy to see them perform again. I was very impressed that they really had a competent wrestling background, and that was an excellent, excellent opener to get everyone pumped. What was your opener?
My opener was oh, you know, I'm looking right now to make sure I have it right. But I do think my opener was Jax Dane and Brian Cage.
That was your opener? Holy crap.
Yeah, and then that was followed by Jeff Cobb and Rocky Romero.
Wow, they really – that surprises me. They got some of the big matches out of the way early. Jax Dane.
Yeah, Jax. Go ahead. No, I have to talk about Rocky Romero right now, because Rocky Romero and Jeff Cobb match was really good. Jeff Cobb came out in like a big white singlet. Some guy from the audience was like, "You got a singlet!" It was just really great. But Rocky Romero, after the match ended, the Wrestle Circus people blared Stone Cold Steve Austin's. Wait. Am I talking right? Is that right? I think that was Rocky.
Are you sure that wasn't Willie Mack?
No. It was not Willie Mack. No, I'm pretty sure it was Rocky. Romero, that
Willie Mack's gimmick is that he's the Black Stone Cold.
No. So Willie Mack was the final match between ACH, but I think it was Rocky Romero that he played Stone Cold Steve Austin's music, and he like Jeff Cobb and Rocky Romero like mimed doing the Stone Cold beer cheers and drinking, and then Rocky Romero totally like. He embodied the soul of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, if there was a contest of like a imitation of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the actual Stone Cold Steve Austin was there, I do think Rocky Romero would still win because Rocky was that good imitating Stone Cold. That it was really badass. But yeah, that was cool. But going on to Jax Dan and Brian Cage, that was something else.
To give you an idea about Jax Dane, he is a former NWA world champion, and he's starting a small run with Ring of Honor right now. But Jax Dane's nickname is Godzilla, and that's all you need to know. Brian, will you elaborate on Jax Dane?
Dude, he is a gigantic – like, he is a big, big boy. I mean, that guy just – oh, my God. That was, like, the first match. So you had, like, these two, like, super heavyweight hitters just literally going at it. And, like, every hit and kick you would definitely feel – like, you were literally – like, I mean, there were parts of the time where, like, the audience of 150 people are silent. And you, like, really hear every hit. And it seems painful.
Yeah, you hear flesh hitting flesh at independent shows, man. It's no joke.
No, it is absolutely no joke. So yeah, no, that was really cool.
Yeah, Jax Dane had probably, I don't want to say it was the worst match of the night, but it was just booked odd. We had a tag team match with Jax Dane and Carson versus the team of Jesse Sorensen and Wes Briscoe, two people that I had never seen before. Before we go any farther, I need to comment on Wes Briscoe, because Wes Briscoe. Tyler kept turning to me and being so unbelievable that, like, of all the things in wrestling, this is the thing that was taking me out of it. Wes Briscoe has reverse sleeve tattoos, and I don't understand it. Where most people would have tattoos that go up your entire arms and then meet in the back, and you have, like, a back tattoo and maybe a chest plate tattoo, Wes Briscoe has tattoos all around his legs, up his butt, and then they end in his lower back, and his arms are completely tattoo free, and it freaked me out so much that someone would have reverse tattoos like that.
Hey, you gotta be different.
Hey, you know what? You Wes Briscoe, you do you. I don't think you're bad at your job. I just think you're weird as shit. The match was kind of built around Jax Dane and Carson not getting along. You know, like, Carson's a big, huge dude from Houston, and Jax Dane's a big, huge dude from – I don't remember where he's from. But they're just two big, huge dudes, two alpha males, and the match was just built around, well, Carson wants to do this, and Jax wants to do this, and, you know – It was a very odd storyline that really ended with Carson turning on Jax, and it was like, okay, we get it. It's fine. Whatever. And that's what it was. Like, it was a big Hoss match, but again, I think if I had to rebook that, I would rather seen Jax Dane beat the crap out of Carson, which, given that he turned on him, we very well may see that next month. And that'll be a match that I'm very interested in watching, because Hoss fights are definitely my thing. Speaking of Hoss fights, you got to see a gentleman known as Super Cop Dick Justice.
So this, I believe, was the third match, and this was a match of four people with Tempo, Jordan Lennox, Dick Justice, and a man known as Jervis Cottonbelly, who is billed as the nicest wrestler in the world.
You'll find that his actual name is the world's sweetest man.
Yes, yes. He is the world's sweetest man. And let me just say, so Dick Justice looks like a much bigger Danny McBride. like a much bigger Danny McBride who dresses like Lieutenant Dangle from Reno 911. He was in a cop outfit.
There's no better description for that. That's pretty much exactly what it is.
And Jervis Cottonbelly is, he wears like, it, what it looks like is like the Mr. Peanut mascot on the Planters Peanuts mask. And he wears kind of like just like a weird leotard onesie. And he kind of like makes noises, like real high screeching noises.
Well, so here's the thing. Jervis Cottonbelly is the greatest man who ever lived. And his goal in life is for everyone to love each other and be best friends. And he wants to be everyone's best friend. And even though he's very good at wrestling, he also knows that being hit in the chest hurts. So when he gets hit, he screams in pain because it hurts.
That is true. And it's not a manly scream whatsoever.
No, it's not.
So Dick Justice and Jervis Cottonbelly supposedly have a year-long ride going on, right?
Yeah, so at the last show in October, one of the matches on the card was a Falls Count Anywhere, one-year time limit, no disqualification match between Dick Justice and Jervis Cottonbelly, meaning that that until one person pins the other one, they can fight for a full calendar year. Which led to an interesting moment in ours where Jervis Cottonbelly was fighting for the Sideshow Championship, basically their equivalent to the Intercontinental Championship. And Dick Justice came out to the ring to continue their match, chased him out of the arena, as it were, the hall that we were in, and he got counted out because he was still trying to escape and fight his previous ongoing one-year match, which was a bummer, because Jervis Cottonbelly is wonderful.
But Jervis Cottonbelly, he wants to be nice to his opponents, and you have some examples of that, right?
Oh, my God. He is probably the most over guy in Wrestle Circus in Austin.
And what we mean by over is, of course, that everybody loves him.
The fans love him.
Yes.
So he started off wrestling, and because he is just a gentleman, he does not choose to enact violence unless he absolutely needs to. He just kind of like tried to like hug everybody to start the match off, and they didn't like that very much. His opponents were, his opponents were the Sideshow Champion Scorpio Sky from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and Rocky Romero, the Stone Cold surrogate Brian so effusively praised. Rocky Romero is a multiple-time tag team champion in New Japan with Roppongi Vice and one of the best wrestlers alive. He's ridiculously good. Rocky and Scorpio actually made Jervis Cottonbelly stand in the corner and like a gentleman who does what he's told, he just wants to make everyone happy. So he stood in the corner and was kind of sad about it. And the audience just would not let him like, go, Jervis. Don't let him do that to you, Jervis. He came back and he would just like, if they were in a waist lock, he would just put the other guy in a waist lock and just be like a little train of people, like a conga line almost. And then one of the times he came back in, they were in a waist lock together. And instead of putting someone in a waist lock, he went in front of Rocky Romero and put Rocky Romero's arms around him to put himself in a waist lock. it popped the crowd like no one's business. And again, like when he got taken out of the match by the count out, there was audible boos. Like, the rest of the match was very exciting and the crowd wasn't, you know, a piece of crap and shit on the other wrestlers. But like, we love Jervis Cottonbelly in Austin. And I am not alone in saying that we want him to win a championship in that promotion because it would make everyone the most happy.
It really would. And like at the Dallas show, it was funny, Dick Justice was on the ground and Jervis Cottonbelly was on the top rope getting ready to jump off onto everybody, but he didn't want to hurt them, so he kind of climbed down to just the mat and did like a cat pounce and screamed a high-pitched scream with his hands out onto the people. Dude, it got such a big crowd reaction, and it was just so amazing. Because you see him on the top rope thinking about doing it. He's like, should I do it? No. Should I do it? No. And then he climbs down and he goes,
he's wonderful. If there were a ton of fantastic wrestlers on this card, and I recommend basically all of them, but if you have never seen Jervis Cottonbelly live and he comes to anywhere near where you live, please go watch him. You will have one of the most fun times you can possibly have at a wrestling show, and he will personally wait for every single fan to shake his hand or say goodbye before he leaves the arena. He will ask you to take a picture with him, like, because he just wants everyone to have the best time. Please go see Jervis Cottonbelly. Please buy him his t-shirts. Please make him the happiest man alive, because he's the sweetest. Before we move on to the rest of the stuff, I need to tell Brian that our second match of the night was Super Cop Dick Justice versus Joey Ryan.
Oh my gosh. And how was that? And so the King of Dong style and Dick Justice.
So at one point, basically it became a match, because as like before the match even started, Joey Ryan went to Dick Justice and told him to touch his dick.
Yeah.
And absolutely, that didn't happen. And there kept being like fights about it, you know, like the audience would like tell him to do it, and then other people were telling him not to do it, because Joey Ryan's gimmick is that his dick is invulnerable and it also can suplex people.
Yeah, yes, so it can. We saw it. It happened.
So it got to the point where people were chanting for Joey Ryan's dick and also chanting for Super Cop Dick. So at one point, the crowd just started chanting, "Both these dicks, both these dicks, both these dicks." And there was, again, this was the second match of the show. So like there was, it was standing room only, and there were some people, because this is happening in downtown Austin. This isn't happening in like a gym in the middle of nowhere. This is happening across the street from the Paramount Theater in downtown Austin. And a bunch of people started gathering around the outside of the building. And by the time the second match started, there was like 8 or 9 kids that were just like watching in through the door, because wrestling is amazing and they wanted to see it. By the end of a match entirely built around one man touching another man's dick until it throws him across the room, there were no kids outside the
door. Yeah, absolutely. They're like, what is wrestling these days?
But again, like it was the match was a little long for, you know, straight up comedy match, but like there was a great moment where Super Cop Dick Justice lifted Joey Ryan up and then like crotched him on his knee. You know how like you drop someone on your knee, and like Dick Justice like fell to the floor clutching his knee because Joey Ryan's dick hurt his knee so much. And it was just super fun. But again, like that was the most, the biggest memory for me was watching a crowd of kids being dragged away by their mothers because it was dick versus dick combat.
It was so funny. And I have to add on to the Joey Ryan match. So Joey Ryan, of course, the King of Dong style, he comes out with a lollipop sucker. And he starts pulling out towards the end of his match, his tag team match, more suckers from his crotch. And he tries to put them in the mouths of his opponents. So yes. At one point, who was it? Well, it was both Joey Ryan got his pants pulled down and he was bent over. So the opposing team of Ricky Starks and Aaron Solo tried to put the sucker in his butthole, but they took it a step further. One of them went under the ring and pulled out literally a giant sucker that it was the size of your forearm from your shoulder to your hand. And that happened. but then the amazing, the incredible, my crush right now. What's her name?
Candice Lorraine.
Candice Lorraine came out and just started grabbing dicks, and it just went from there. It was so good.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. Like Joey Ryan has the dickplex where he grabs people from underneath and then throws them over his shoulder.
Yes.
And Candice Lorraine has the boobplex where she grabs people by the boobs and throws them over her head.
Yeah, it was so good. So yeah, that's Joey Ryan. But let's. We have to talk about one of the best wrestlers who I can't believe was not in the CWC, who does not have a contract with WWE yet, and that is Sammy Guevara.
Sammy Guevara is someone I'm very familiar with. He has been in Inspire Pro Wrestling for about a year now. He actually was in it a couple of years ago and then went away for a while, then came back about last year sometime. And Sammy Guevara is no joke, one of the most talented high flyers I've ever seen on TV or in life. And he's young, he's awesome. He does a 630 senton, he does 450 splashes, he does picture perfect moonsaults. He can jump off of anything and do anything. And his character is the most shit eating piece of crap in the world, and he plays it perfectly.
Dude, yeah, like, within a matter of seconds, he had the whole crowd at Dallas Wrestle Circus turned against him, and he played into it so well.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I mean, and again, and this is someone who like can do legitimately amazing things. Like I've seen him do a shooting star press off the top turnbuckle to the outside. And this is someone who after he does that, people yell, "You still suck," at him, because it doesn't matter how impressive he is. He's such a piece of crap as a character that he is heel heat for days and days and days. And that's very hard to be a bad guy and be a high flyer, but he is incredible at it. I can almost guarantee that when the next CWC happens, he will be on that, and the world will get to see how good Sammy Guevara is.
He is so good. So at my show, it was Sammy Guevara versus Prince Ali, who was in the CWC this past year, versus Mr. 450. But Mr. 450 he was out for a few seconds, and then it was just Prince Ali versus Sammy Guevara. And it was amazing. Like, Sammy is just like the best in the world.
Yeah, he's awesome. Our match in Austin was just Sammy Guevara versus Prince Ali, and that's it. Mr. 450 actually won the number one contendership to the Sideshow Championship in ours. There was a five-way between him, ACH, Jordan Lennox, Laredo Kid, and Bolt Brady. I don't think you got Bolt Brady at your show. He's really good. He's a really, really tall black kid that wears Spider-Man gear, and that dude can go. Like, he's ridiculously good. But yeah, I was surprised that Mr. 450 won, because he was sporting a knee brace the whole night, so it looked like he actually had or was overcoming some kind of injury, and he was probably in the match the least out of all the competitors, but he won. So I'm assuming we're going to get that match in December, Mr. 450 against Scorpio Sky. So hopefully he's healed up and can put on a phenomenal show. But yeah, Sammy Guevara versus Prince Ali was absolutely awesome. I mean, it was just everything you want from a high-flying match. Prince Ali did a bunch of stuff to the outside. So did Sammy Guevara. It was a good, 12, 15-minute to coin it or to use a JR phrase, slobber knocker. It was one of the highlights of the night. But again, like almost every match that Sammy Guevara is in is fantastic. Sammy Guevara wrestled Tony Nese at the last show. So that was an excellent match too.
That was cool. Yeah, Tony Nese wasn't at my show because I guess he is signed to the big WWE right now.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer, because Tony Nese was actually scheduled to wrestle Jeff Cobb at my event, which would have been an incredible match. But yeah, over the weekend at Evolve 73, actually, where he wrestles in Evolve a lot, William Regal actually presented him off camera, well, off broadcast, on camera, off broadcast, with a WWE contract. And 1 week later, they pulled them from the independent show. I'm not sure why, besides they have the right to do that. But he was filled in by Willie Mack from Lucha Underground and PWG and a whole bunch of other promotions. Willie Mack is awesome.
Yeah, Willie Mack is a...
He can do anything. He's every bit of 280 pounds, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, dude, Willie Mack is a big, big boy, and he is a big boy that can do flips and high stunts. And at the show, that was the main event, was Willie Mack versus ACH. And those guys just really played into the crowd. They were hilarious talking with us during the matches. But some of those hits they took, I was just like, I don't even know how they survived.
Oh, I was sitting there with Willie Mack versus Jeff Cobb, who is Matanza on Lucha Underground. So this is a big, big dude who can throw people around. And some of the chops they were hitting each other with, we just like would look at each other and wince. Yeah. Because it's just so loud and so hard. That was an excellent, excellent match. I think the last match that we actually shared was the Ringmaster title match between EC3 and an unnamed opponent.
Ringmaster title is like the world heavyweight.
The world title.
Yeah.
So to give some context to this, the build up to this match was that EC3 got to choose his own opponent. And on Twitter, there was stuff going around where like someone responded to that tweet with a photo of Sting saying like, maybe we'll see this. And Wrestle Circus was like, well, no, it's not Sting, but it's you could say it's of that caliber. And then right before the matches went up, they posted a graphic of him in the middle with like a whole bunch of like wrestlers on each side of him. Like, who will it be? And it was like, there was pictures of Tommy Dreamer. There was pictures of Scott Steiner. There was pictures of Marty Scurll. There was a picture of like, you know, all these wrestlers. So we had no idea what was going to be there. We just knew something big was going to happen. It's a mystery opponent. There's, you know, it could be Kurt Angle. It could be Carlito. It could be Scott Steiner. It could be Buff Bagwell. Who knows who it's going to be? And I love that of all those names, Brian Kluger pops for Buff Bagwell.
I did. You got it out of me. It wasn't for Kurt Angle. It was for Buff Bagwell.
More or less the same thing happened at both events. So I'll let Brian tell the tale.
So EC3, he is the big guy at Wrestle Circus. He is the current champion, the big champion. And he got to pick a point of his choosing. And did we get Buff Bagwell? No. Did we get Kurt Angle? No. At my show, I got the ring announcer. I got the actual ring announcer who goes by Loud and Obnoxious, who is like a 110-pound guy that looks like, oh, God, what's his name? From Get Him to the Greek.
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. There were chants of Russell Brand to him. It was really funny. And the match lasted like 45 seconds. I will say that, yes, the ring announcer, Loud and Obnoxious, did get some hits in. But, I mean, EC3 is a good wrestler.
Yes, he is.
Carter III. I'm sure you had something similar, right?
Yeah, so he came out and he basically did the whole like, and your opponent, or and my opponent, like he came out and cut a promo saying like he's the Ringmaster champion and that he will, you know, he's only going to defend it against top superstars and he's going to keep the prestige of this belt intact. And then he said, that's why my opponent is this man. And the person who came out was a local jobber, who went by the name of, I want to say it's like Greg Garrett. I might've got the last name wrong. I apologize. Local jobber, Greg Garrett. And when everyone booed the decision, he was like, no, I can't fight you. You don't have a gimmick. You need to go get a gimmick. So we were all like, he's going to go back in. He's going to come out as like Carlito, or he's going to come out as Kurt Angle, or he's going to come out as like a big time wrestler with an established gimmick. And that's going to be the swerve. He came back out as Gary, the garbage man, Garrett, who walked around with a Rubbermaid garbage can and just walked around the ring with like, it had like wrappers in it and like streamers in it. And he walked around the ring saying, "Who wants some garbage?" And he got back in the ring, and EC3 was making fun of him. And he's like, "The garbage man, what's your finishing move?" And he said, "The garbage stunner." and then he said, "That's stupid. What's really your finishing move?" And he said, "The garbage people's elbow."
Solid gold comedy people.
And then it went to the garbage super kick. and the match, the garbage man actually beat the shit out of EC3 for the whole match. And then EC3 beat him with a roll up in 3 minutes. anyway, that was the second to last match of the night for us. That did not obviously close the show, because that would have made people very, very angry.
Right.
Before I get onto our main event, which was incredible, I do need to call special attention to the women wrestling.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that too, because.
Go ahead, Brian. You can kick us off.
Yeah, so we had Bates, Janes, and James versus Scott, Luck, and Alley Cat. And I want to say that I don't remember which woman it was, but she came out as Chris Jericho with the list and everything. She had the scarf, she dressed like nice. Him, and she came out with, "You're on the list." But I have to say that I have a huge crush on Alley Cat. She was so badass in this match.
Yeah.
She comes out, she's like the cat to, she has like cat face paint, and but she was a badass in the ring, and I was like, okay, all praise to Alley Cat. There we go.
She's a I think she's local to San Antonio. She actually wrestles for River City Wrestling a lot, and I've seen her at I think two or three Inspire Pro shows. So she's pretty she's a regular down here. But yeah, she is good. We simply had a one-on-one match between Christy Janes and Ring of Honor's Veda Scott. Veda Scott is a former Inspire Pro women's champion, so she's very familiar to the Austin area, and we were very much behind her. But there's an interesting thing that WrestleCircus is doing with their women's competitors, where they don't have a women's belt per se, but they do have a rule set up, which I kind of dig this, that the very first woman to get three consecutive pinfalls, or sorry, three consecutive victories, makes them like the queen of the ring or something like that. I forget what they actually call it. I'll have to look it up. But it's not based on who pins who for what. It's all about win streaks. And if you win three matches, then you have that unofficial title. And if someone beats you, then they also have to win two other matches to prove that they are actually good enough to be the next queen of the ring. And I really like that concept, because it gives the women a spotlight, and it gives them saying, hey, you know what? Wrestling matters in the women's division. You have to win. Like, you can't just pull a garbage victory and be the champion. You have to consecutively, successfully prove that you are great and better than these other women. And I really dig that. I think it's a good way to showcase women's wrestling in especially a time when women's wrestling is really being looked at because of the stuff going on in WWE and NXT and all that stuff. And the match between Veda Scott and Christy Janes was excellent. Christy Janes won, which puts her record at 2-0. Brian, I don't actually know if your event counts canonically,
because it was three against three. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if like, because there's like a triple threat or whatever would actually mean something. So her next match if she wins the next match, whether it be a triple threat or a four-way or even a one-on-one, then Christy James would be known as the Queen of the Ring, and then she'd be the woman to beat. So, but again, it was a very good match. Aveda and Christy are both really, really good wrestlers. So
yeah, they were really great. There was a time in the match that I saw in Dallas where three of the women were on the ground, not in the ring, but on the ground. And then one after one of the other three would climb to the top rope and do a flip onto the other women or like a high flying stunt onto the other women. It just kept going like that. And it was badass.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really good.
So we only had the two. We didn't have, Jessica James wasn't in ours. Leva Bates wasn't in ours. Really it was just those two. It was James and Scott, and that's it. And again, like, it was a good match. I bet that trios match you had was excellent too. They've only had three women's matches total. There's only one per card so far. But both matches I've seen, and from what Brian's telling me, they've all been excellent matches. So I'm very, again, I want to give props to Wrestle Circus for having a solid women's division and putting a spotlight on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my main event was the very first time meeting between Brian Cage, who was the opening match at Brian's show. But Brian Cage works for Lucha Underground and AAA in Mexico, and he is just the most jacked white dude you could possibly imagine. And his opponent was Fat Chris Hero.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you got to see Chris Hero.
And there is a distinction between Chris Hero and Fat Chris Hero. Pre-WWE Chris Hero was awesome. WWE Chris Hero was okay. And then once he got fired for literally being too fat, that's literally why he got fired, he just decided to double down on the hot dogs and become the fattest goddamn son of a bitch that ever lived. And he just beats the dog shit out of people, and I love it.
Yeah.
So Chris Hero is amazing. But yeah, so this was a big time, hard hitting, hard throwing super match. And so Brian Cage, Google him if you want to see a picture of this dude. He's got to be 6'3". He's got to be like 285, 275 of nothing but muscle. And this dude did jumps off the top rope. This dude did a 619. He did a 619 to Chris Hero. He's like 285. And it was just a really, really, really hard-hitting, great match. Chris Hero always puts on great matches because he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. But that was the very first time that these two have ever wrestled before. So we had a historic, you know, we got to see something really cool at Wrestle Circus Night 1. They do plan on releasing these on a video on demand and maybe DVD in the future. Who knows? So definitely keep an eye out for that, because you're not going to want to miss Hero versus Cage. It was an excellent, excellent bout to end the night. Everyone went home very happy after a bullshit championship match.
Right.
Yeah, but both these cards from top to bottom, like I said, there was maybe one or two matches where I was like, okay, that was a match. It, you know, nothing was ever bad in it. But, you know, you kind of have to have a little bit of a cool down moment. But generally speaking, just the card from top to bottom was just fast paced, exciting, good wrestling, good stories, great characters. The audience was into it the whole time. And our show actually went way longer than we expected. We started at 3:30. About 3:20, maybe a little bit later than we anticipated to start. It was billed to start at 3:00, but our show didn't let out till about 7:30, 7:40. So we had four full hours of wrestling on night one, which was unexpected. But again, by the end of the night, no one was tired. No one was leaving. No one was like needed to be woken up, because they really programmed these cards so well to keep you enthralled and engaged and excited in what's happening. So again, Wrestle Circus, you're 1 month old with two shows under your belt, three technically, and I'm in love with you. So I can't wait to see December 17th, which, by the way, during that match or during the events, they announced two of the matches for December 17th, and they are ridiculous. So, Jeff Cobb, who I mentioned during our match, fought Willie Mack, and it was an excellent match. And after Jeff Cobb won with a amazing power slam, who came out to the ring but Unbreakable Big Mike Elgin from New Japan Pro and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he came out during mine too.
Awesome,
yeah,
awesome. I'm glad you got that. And basically cut a promo saying everywhere he goes, people ask him when he's going to fight Jeff Cobb, and people tweet at him saying, "Yeah, you're really good, but when are you going to fight Jeff Cobb?" And they agreed that December 17th was the day that he fights Jeff Cobb. So yep, we're going to have a huge Hoss fight on December 17th. And also they announced the world title match. Because EC3 was such a chicken shit and fought the ring announcer and fought Gary the Garbage Man Garrett, the owner, I want to say Lexi Lenhart. Is that right?
Lexi and Al Lenhart.
Yeah. I didn't see Al there, but Lexi was there the whole night. She actually came out to the ring after the title match with a piece of paper and handled it to Loud and Noxious to read out to the crowd. And basically it said, on December 19th, you are not going to be defending the title against Gary the Garbage Man Garrett. You are going to be defending the title against Pentagon Jr.
Oh, and yeah.
Our crowd lost their freaking mind. So, yeah, there are two enormous, enormous matches signed already for December 17th. I'm sure there's going to be even more great stuff to come. I'm sure we'll see Sammy again. I'm sure we'll see Christy Janes hopefully becoming the first, you know, women's quote-unquote champion. I think I heard a rumor that Joey Ryan is going to wrestle Jade from TNA, which is going to be awesome.
That would be badass.
So we'll see what happens. But I mean, I'm on board the Wrestle Circus for life at this point. So I'm stoked that it's in a town that's within reasonable driving distance for me. And I just wish them the best. I think they have something really special on their hands, and they're already getting, I mean, shoot, like, they're already getting statewide national attention for some of the matches they're putting together, and they're 2 months old. So, and as far as I can tell, this is just two people who wanted to start a wrestling promotion. They're not from a wrestling family. They don't have any ties to the wrestling world. They just said, you know what's awesome? Pro wrestling. Let's do it. So they pulled up their money. They bought a promotion, or they formed a promotion. They bought some belts. They got some A-plus talent from around the world. And they've put on three incredible shows so far. So best of luck to Al and Lexi Lenhart. They're doing a bang-up job, and I can't wait to see what else they do.
No, yeah, it was definitely – I mean, I am a fan for life. They are at www.wrestlecircus.com. You can find them at Wrestle Circus on Twitter, I believe.
So before we sign off here, our esteemed late colleague, Mike Pertil, who
I just saw all of Mike Pertil's Twitter questions. I literally, as you were typing that, I was like, oh, God, I have tons of notifications. There we go.
I apologize that his questions. First of all, Mike, we miss you. We miss you every day. Please, please abandon your infant and come back to us. He has some questions for us. So number one is, who is your dream opponent for Mr. Athletic Jeff Cobb? And I probably had an answer for this before, but I didn't know how much I needed to see Jeff Cobb versus Mike Elgin before it happened in front of my face. So that's my dream match, and it's happening in a month.
Jeff Cobb versus Zack Sabre Jr.
I think it's happened, and I'll see if I can find it for you, but that would be incredible because both those guys can really go.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd have to see that, but I'd like to see that live.
Oh, absolutely. You smart bastard. His next question is, how many miedos do you have? The only answer to that, Mike, you know the answer to that. Yo tengo cero miedo.
Yes, smart bastard.
And finally, this might be my favorite question that I've ever gotten about anything.
Yeah, this is so good.
Mike Pertil asks, if you could go back in time to kill Hitler, how many times would you shoot Marty Scurll?
I mean, I think the MVP of this podcast goes to Mike Pertil.
Who wasn't even on it.
Yes, that's true. He wasn't even on it.
Yeah, so that's something you all need to know about Mike Pertil, is he's the greatest man alive and his least favorite person to ever exist is a British wrestler with a bad haircut and an umbrella.
Yeah, that's true. It is very true. It's the bane of his existence. Oh, it's so funny.
That wraps us up for now. Hopefully Mike will be able to join us when we talk about Survivor Series, because Mike Pertil has lots to say about Chuckles Goldberg.
Yes, tons to say about Chuckles Goldberg. We can't wait to hear it in person and hear his reaction. But again, yeah, we are the WEW Podcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men banner. We're also at www.boomstickcomics.com. Tom Nix, thanks for joining. And I'm Brian Kluger, and we're gonna bring you all the indie wrestling news. Go seek it out. Go see Wrestle Circus. Like, just tweet them and just tell them how much you love them.
Yeah. So next month I'm going to VIP in Dallas with Tyson Major.
Yes,
Ryan will be there as well. And then the very next day I'm driving back to Austin to go see the fourth installment of a Wrestle Circus. So that weekend in December is going to be a very fun weekend for me, and I'm sure we'll record a podcast all about what we saw. The independent wrestling these days is hot as fire. And like, if you live somewhere close to where Evolve is performing, go see them. If you live somewhere close to where Pro Wrestling Guerrilla is performing, go see them. If you're anywhere close to where AAW in Cleveland is performing, go see them. If you're in Chicago, what is there? I can't remember what Chicago's independent wrestling. I think it's AIW or AAW. There are so many great independent wrestling promotions out there who are putting on matches that rival anything you would see in NXT or WWE. If you love wrestling, please make it out to your local show. Please support independent wrestling, because without your patronage, they can't afford to bring in the wrestlers to entertain you. So please go watch live wrestling. It's still the best way to see it. So support your local independent wrestling fed and tell them Tom and Brian sent you.
Absolutely. And thanks for listening, WEW Podcast. We'll see you next time.